The following message is from the audio teaching library of the Briarwood Pulpit, a ministry of the Briarwood Presbyterian Church in Birmingham, Alabama. Our speaker is Dr. Harry Reeder, senior pastor of Briarwood Presbyterian Church. It is our hope and prayer that this message will equip and encourage you in your walk with Christ, and as a result, you will be used by our Lord as an instrument of change to further His kingdom and bring honor and glory to the name of Christ. Here now is our pastor-teacher, Harry Reeder.
And if you're able, please remain standing for the reading of God's Word from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. If you're visiting with us and you don't have a Bible, we would encourage you to follow along with us in 1 Corinthians 11, page 958. Children up to the fourth grade can be dismissed to my left to the children's worship time. The rest of you, if you'll go with me to 1 Corinthians 11, and there's a note sheet if you'd like to use that for a few thoughts to prepare our hearts as we come to the Lord's Supper. I'm going to pick up reading at verse 17. And if, by the way, if you don't have a Bible, feel free to take that Bible home with you along with a study guide I'll give you at the back. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, let's read this with a few thoughts as we come to the table. Verse 17. But in the following instructions, I do not commend you, because when you come together, it's not for the better, but for the worse. For in the first place, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you, and I believe it in part, for there must be factions among you in order that those who are genuine among you may be recognized. And when you come together, it is not for the Lord's Supper that you eat. For in eating, each one goes ahead with his own meal. One goes hungry, another gets drunk. What? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and humiliate those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I commend you in this? No, I will not. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. And that is why many of you are weak and ill, and some of you have died. But if we judged ourselves, truly we would not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined, so that we may not be condemned along with the world. So then, my brothers, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. If anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, so that when you come together, it will not be for judgment. The other things I will give directions when I come. The grass withers, the flower fades, God's word abides forever. By his grace and mercy, may his word be preached for you. Please be seated. Well, we've got a few moments in this text, and I want to get to it. Can I ask you to focus with me? Because I kind of want to do two things, and I know you're capable of doing that. Hopefully I'll be capable of doing that. I want us to take the Lord's Supper, but I also want us to say a word about this season, Thanksgiving. You know, I'm very grateful that we have chosen as a congregation to take communion seasons. Of course, we are in that frame of Christianity that says, well, we're not going to just put the Lord's Supper at the end of each service and then just kind of go to it. Or nor are we not going to have it often, because the Bible says often. So we have it 10 times a year. But what we do is we take the entire service to focus on the Lord's Supper, the songs, the hymns, the confessions, everything, so that we can come, as the text says, in a manner worthy. I want you to put that in the back of your mind just for a minute. Coming in a manner worthy. Just one element of that I want to ask you to think about as we come to the table. I know in a few days y'all are going to have a great time, hopefully, with your Thanksgiving meals. And if you need some place to be, let me know. But we all want people to fellowship together and have a great time of fellowship in the Lord. What a great blessing it is to do that. So praise the Lord for it. I can still remember. And you know, honestly, as a pastor, let me say this to you. As a pastor, one of the things I long to do, and I really wrestle with a lot, is to try to help you as an individual, you as a married couple, and you as a family, to develop some biblically informed rhythms in your life, seasons in your life. That, I mean, all the way from what God lays out for us, 6 days labor, one day rest, set aside for worship, to be renewed. There's a rhythm to life in which you lay out the biblical tracks and you begin to follow on them. And there are certain things that are glorious to make sure that they're in your life, such as Thanksgiving. I love this holiday. I just love this holiday for a number of reasons. One reason I love it is it's a very unique holiday. Its roots are fully developed in the context of this country and in the context of the Christians who were here at the outset of settling the country. And that's how it began. It has its roots in Christianity, which insists. Can I say this again? This is what I want you to walk away with. It insists in the virtue of Thanksgiving as a way of life, not just a season in life. It insists that Thanksgiving be a marked virtue in the lifestyle of believers who know the Lord. And I want to give you a few thoughts about it. I only got a few minutes to do it, but I want to give you a few thoughts about it. But I'm glad we can do it at communion. Because it's also built into communion. Just stop and think. You're going to be sitting down likely at a meal. And you're going to call it a Thanksgiving season. I wonder those who don't know the Lord or acknowledge the Lord, who are you going to give thanks to? I'm reading one guy who said, well, I just want to thank the blank out of my lucky stars. Boy, now that's going to be a lot of fun. Who are we giving thanks to? And by the way, what does it look like to give thanks? What is Thanksgiving? By the way, one of the things I'd encourage you to consider is that wonderful psalm called the Psalm of Jubilate. That Psalm of Jubilate is called Psalm 100. I would encourage you to consider reading that at your family table, Psalm 100. There are other texts, and I'm going to refer to a number of texts, and I'm just going to make reference to them as I try to lay this out for you. But that you build in this dynamic of Thanksgiving, and you come to that meal. Well, that's what we're doing now. We're coming to a meal. Did you notice the text? Now, this is an interesting text. This is what we call the text of institution. In other words, Paul has laid out for us an understanding of how to approach the Lord's Supper, what the Lord's Supper purpose is, and how to participate in it. And he's laid it out. It was interesting, like many other definitive texts in the Bible, it arises because of a malpractice in the church. They were misusing the Lord's Supper. They were misusing it and blaspheming it so much that God was having to bring the judgment of discipline to his people. Not the condemning judgment, but the judgment of discipline. In fact, some were weak, some sick, some had even died because of how they were misusing the very instrument that God had designed for our better. And so you're now, so I want you just to think about what is it that he says you ought to be doing? How should you come? And notice how he emphasizes, come not thinking that you're worthy, but do come in a manner worthy. What does that mean to come in a manner worthy? Well, just one piece of it is Thanksgiving. Notice that when Paul puts this together, he identifies this as a family meal. Five times he said, I just read it. Five times he said, when you come together, when you come together, it's a gathered family meal. That's why we don't do a private administration of the Lord's Supper. You say, Pastor, what about the shut-ins? Shut-ins, Mark and I will come and recruit some of you, and we'll bring 3, 4, 5, 6 people because we'll have a small little worship service there. It's a gathered assembly. It's the family coming together. It's a family meal. And notice that every time in the gospel it records the giving and institution of this meal, Paul picks up on something that is said. After giving thanks. Thanksgiving in the context of this meal. Well, what does that look like? Can I just give you I sincerely wish I had a lot more time on this, but can I just give you some highlights of how to think about Thanksgiving biblically? What does it look like to develop the Christian virtue of Thanksgiving? Not only in a season of life, which is fine, Thanksgiving season is fine, but to embed it in our lives as a marked virtue of God's grace. Let me give you five things to think about, okay? Here's the first one. Here's the first one. Thanksgiving is verbal. It is verbal. Now, it may be written out or it may be spoken out, but it's verbal. Yeah, and this is where I'm a blessed man. That's the only thing I can say. I get to come to things like this. And I know there are many of us that need to learn this and develop this and excel in it and everything. But there are so many of you that already are light yard. I got home from the Katy, Texas Embers to a Flame last night. And I arrive home and there's three letters for me and notes of encouragement. And they were just so well thought out. So encouraging. You folks are amazing at this, but listen, excel still more. Those of us that are just beginning it, how can we develop it, whether it's the personal word or whether it's the written word, that we verbally give thanks? That brings me to number two, thoughtfully. Thought, it makes sense. It's not just a general, hey, I want to thank you, but it gets specific, thoughtfully. I want to thank you for this. I want to thank you for that. It's verbal, written or spoken. It's thoughtful. I like the way one lady that that was so adept at this in the church I pastored in Charlotte, she just said, I just said one day, I said, you know, you absolutely astound me at how positive you are. I said, how did you develop this? She said, you know, this is what I figure. Everybody who is attempting to serve the Lord, every Christian, whether as a husband, as a wife, whatever it is you are, is that everybody I know, they need an attaboy. Now, they may not be doing it perfect, but they're in the game. And they at least need a pat on the back. They at least need an attaboy. So thoughtfully, an attaboy, verbally, written or spoken. And then you learn to do it pervasively. Pervasively. Here's what, again, I can't go to the text. I'll quote them. First, here's what the psalmist says. Here's what Paul says in Ephesians 1. Giving thanks always. It was a way of life. Here's what Paul said to the Thessalonians. In everything. Give thanks. Now, I think it's important he didn't say for everything, because there's some things that sin has brought. We don't thank the Lord for it. But even when those things come, in those moments, we give thanks because our Lord's at work. Our Lord's at work in it. Our Lord's at work through it. Our Lord's at work above it. Our Lord is at work in our lives so that we can learn to see that, understand that, trust Him, so that we verbally, thoughtfully, pervasively in everything. Now, some of you have some great, like there's this one lady I talked with who's just, she's just really amazing at this. And here's what she told me, and it really affected me. She said, well, Pastor, I've got a note card that I carry with me. And at the end of the day, I want to have written down five names who I personally thank them for something that they did that day that I met. End of the day, when I get to the end of the day, that note card comes out. Are there five people that I have talked to? And she said, and I don't limit to five, but I want to make sure I at least identify five people. The only person that's astounded me more than that was the lady that I met, that she's got a note card in her car and it says, let five people in ahead of you every day. Now, she's going to get sainthood in my categories. I'm ready to put her up for sainthood. But here's the point. It's intentional. To be verbal, to be thoughtful, to be pervasive, you've got to be intentional. It's not serendipity. You have to be intentional about it. Intentionally verbal, intentionally thoughtful, intentionally pervasive. And then number four, that you want it to come from a grateful heart. Don't you love that psalm that we sing? Give thanks with a grateful heart. That it actually comes from the heart with gratefulness. Now, folks, listen, do you know one of the reasons I'm really getting at this? I have a sub objective that's at work here. You see, I know these children that we just saw come in, profess Christ. I know that all of you, I know that all of us are being raised in a culture that is driving home one message constantly, and that's this. You're entitled to be the center of life. You will never give thanks until you give up the spirit of entitlement. You'll never give thanks. Why give thanks? They should have done it. I was there, wasn't I? They ought to do it for me. I deserve it my way. Certainly I do. We live in a culture that actually bombards us continually with communication that it's all about us. And yet we have a Savior who saves us and He teaches us with the psalm. Very first sermon I preached here was this psalm. Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to Thine own name give glory. We never live for His glory until we are grateful in our hearts for His grace. As it shows up from Him and from others. That brings me to number 5. So, verbal, written or spoken, thoughtful, pervasive, giving thanks. Giving thanks verbally, thoughtfully, pervasively, with a grateful heart, and be personal. Be personal with others and with the Lord. Be personal with it. Be personal with others. Pastor, who are some of the others? My goodness, here's a series of sermons. How about some gratefulness and thanksgiving thoughtfully, verbally, consistently, pervasively, from a grateful heart to our spouse? And sometimes the more faithful our spouses are, the more we take them for granted and say little. So that we see in their life what they're doing to our spouse, to our parents. My goodness, I'm so grateful for the relationship I had with my dad and mom, but I'd give anything to have them back. Let me just tell them thank you one more time. Just let me say thank you one more time. Well, if you've got them nearby, tell them thank you. The sacrifices they've made, the commitments that they've made, the spouse, parents, your extended family, uncles, aunts, cousins, all those people. That you learn how to enfold them with the word of thanksgiving, the word of gratefulness. And not only your extended family, but your friends, those friends that are around you, to be able to thank them that they don't get the sense that they exist just for your comfort level, but you're actually grateful to have them as a friend. And my goodness, true friendship is something that's to be prized and certainly ought to be encouraged. And not only that, but you also have the whole dynamic and the whole privilege to be encouraging to the saints. You know, the Bible says this to it. Do not forsake the assembling of yourself. In other words, what it's saying is don't be like most people that I will assemble with God's people on the Lord's Day to worship if I don't have something better to do or something, if I don't have another engage. I'm not talking about providential hindrance, and I'm not talking about the ox in the ditch. I'm talking about throwing an ox in the ditch is what I'm talking about. But you've got this priority in your life. I can't wait to be with God's people. And I can't wait to be with God's people because I can't wait to see some of them to encourage them. Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. All the more as you see the day of the Lord drawing near to encourage one another and stimulate one another. I don't know of anything much more encouraging than stimulating than thank you. Thank you. Thank you. In all the intersections of life, that fraternity, that class, that team, wherever you're intersecting in life and you run into people, and you're able to identify those things that you should be thankful for, and you can be thankful for them, and surprise somebody by being thankful, they probably will be surprised. And they might even ask you why you do it. And guess what you just got? You just got an opportunity for lifestyle evangelism when they ask you why you did it. But give thanks to the Lord with a grateful heart. In fact, I'm going to ask you now as we come to the table. You've heard it said that when the Lord instituted, He said, give thanks. Here's where we start giving thanks to the Lord. Pastor, what should I give thanks to the Lord for? Let me name some for you. As we come to the table and we have these moments of quiet reflection, boy, I love the Lord's Supper. Just hit pause for a moment. Reflection and meditation, and giving thanks. Give thanks for your Savior. You've heard me say it, but it really is true. When I needed Him, I didn't want Him. But I praise God, the one that didn't need me wanted me. I want to give thanks for my Savior, my Redeemer. I want to give thanks to the Father for giving me His Son, the thanks to the Son for giving me His Spirit. I want to give thanks not only for my Savior, secondly, I want to give thanks for my salvation. I'm forgiven. This ungodly, immoral, vulgar, profane man, self-absorbed, God's saving grace showed him he was helpless and hopeless. And then gloriously didn't leave me in my helplessness and my hopelessness, but showed me an all-sufficient Savior. Give thanks for the Savior. Give thanks for saving faith. Do you believe in Jesus? The only reason you do is because He enabled you to. For by grace are you saved through, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Give thanks. Give thanks for your salvation. Give thanks for your Savior. Give thanks for saving faith. Give thanks for the Word of God. We have it. Do you know all the people that have died for you to have that Bible in your hands? Do you know what the Spirit of God has done to bring that Word throughout, put it together over 1,600 years and give it to you over the last 2,000 years? And now it's here in your language, and there it is. And you can know the God of the Word accurately and intimately because you have the Word of God. Well, you didn't entitled to that. That was a gift that God has brought to us through the sacrifice of many. Give thanks for the Word of God. And I can't even utterly imagine. I not only have God's Word to read and study and think through, I get the privilege to preach it. Give thanks for the Spirit of God who's been given to you, who has made you His home. And by the way, there's going to come a time you're going to sing a song. The Holy Spirit who's made you His home, He's going to come a time He ain't going to need this house no longer. He's going to give you a new one. Give thanks for the providence of God, that God in a world that's broken works all things together for His glory and your good. Give thanks to God for His church. Please love the church of God which He purchased with His own blood. Do not treat her as an off-scouring or just as a convenience store. This is the church of God with her sacred oaths and covenants and that glorious body of believers that is headed to eternity. Give thanks to the Lord for worship. Give thanks to the Lord for worship. Some of you remember my dad died. When my mother died, I was away on a Friday at the General Assembly, and she died on Saturday. And I drove home Saturday night, drove back here Saturday night, preached that Sunday, and then went back for the funeral on Monday. And one of these dear lady in our church came up and said to me, Pastor, I'm grateful that you came, but you didn't have to do that. You could have stayed there. We would have understood. I said, no. I actually wish that was true in some ways. But you need to know something. I didn't come back here out of duty to preach this Sunday. I came back here today because I could not think of anywhere else when my mother went home for that I wanted to be more than among God's people to worship on the Lord's Day. Thank God for worship in spirit and in truth. Something that's wholly different, not a warmed over worldly event with a few religious words, but something unique that God has designed that pleases Him. Thank God. Let me give you one more. This is the 10th one. Thank God that Jesus is coming again. Thank Him that He's coming again, and He's coming soon, maybe morning, maybe noon. I know not why God's wondrous grace to me, I know not why God's wondrous grace to me He has made known, nor why me, the unworthy one, Christ has loved and redeemed me for His own. I know not why, but I do know this. I know whom I have believed, and He's able to guard what I've entrusted to Him. And I give thanks. Let's pray. Father, would You prepare our hearts for this table, that we can, together as a family, not use this moment to exalt ourselves, but to use this moment to exalt our Savior, draw near to Him by faith, and draw near to Him together in the Lord and for the Lord as a grateful people, giving thanks to others and giving thanks with praise to You. I come and pray that You will come and meet with us in these moments. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to a message by Harry Reeder, Senior Pastor of Briarwood Presbyterian Church in Birmingham, Alabama. For more information on the resources available through Briarwood Presbyterian Church, or for more information on the teaching ministry of Pastor Reeder, visit us at briarwood.org. Or call 205-776-5200.